The Bible talks about city. The Bible talks about house. The Bible talks about gates. And the Bible talks about gate. Old Testament, God changed the name of Abraham to Abraham. And the Bible says, Abraham, he looked for a city that God would build for him and his generations, where the God is the builder and the maker of the city. That is Old Testament. Then Moses and the people of Israel, they were looking for a land. The Lord would provide them a land, a promised land. And David and Solomon, they were looking for a temple. The Lord would bless them to build a holy temple. In the New Testament, Apostle John, he looked a new city, Holy Jerusalem, coming down. And the Bible says that city has no darkness, no night, because the Lamb is the light of the city. From Old Testament all the way to New Testament. As we pray, let's remember the last verse that says, the light that we shine because of we receive Jesus Christ, the true light. The Bible says that light is given to all that are in the house. Amen. All that are in the house. All. All that are in the house. Similar to the time when the Lord sent the plague. All that are in the house, they survived the plague. They escaped the plague because the agape of the Lord was inside the house. And the Lord shut the door. The same way he shut the door of Noah when he built the ark. We thank the Lord for giving us a house. And we thank the Lord for giving us a family. We thank the Lord for the brothers and sisters and the family of God, which is the greatest blessing that we receive. For the Lord said, I am your exceedingly great reward, and God dwells in the midst of his family. I pray the Lord bless us as we continue to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day of worship, beautiful day of praise. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord, for you have gathered all of us here in the house of God, in the family of God, where the light of God shines deep within in every one of us, O Lord. May you, Lord, wash us, sanctify us thoroughly today. Thy word, thy truth is by what we are all sanctified, O Lord. Consecrate us, O Lord, anoint us, Lord, by the power of thy Holy Ghost. Soak us, Lord, in your divine presence. Help us, Lord, that we learn to depend on you, that we learn to walk like a child, for you told all of us, convert to be like children, to be simple, to be plain, to be neutral, always relying on the mighty hand of God, not relying on who we are, not relying on what we know, but Lord, thou knowest all, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you bless all of us to gather physically, spiritually, mentally, O Lord, as the parts of the word assembled together to report to the word of God. For we are, O Lord, your children, O Lord. May you bless, O Lord, all the brethren who are joining from different places, O Lord, that may you speak to all of us today, that we listen to thy word. Thy word is the lamp unto all our feet. We pray that you be with us and guide us today, O Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Thanks the Lord for all the songs the brethren sang today. I'm truly encouraged. It's a wonderful blessing that the family of God is always beautifully complete. Amen. Amen. It has all the fruits, all the blessings that God has promised. We could see all sufficiency in Scripture as a fulfillment in the family of God, in the house of God. Amen. Because the book of Nehemiah says, children of God who are led by God, they lack nothing in the wilderness. The Lord has provided them everything. And we sing the song, you are my everything. As long as we receive him as our greatest reward, we will receive the reward. If we have the desire of receiving some other reward, we would not receive. When we don't receive, we feel that we don't get what we wanted, we lack something. That lacking is not part of the Lord's provision. Grace is sufficient to thee, because all sufficiency in the Word of God. We thank the Lord for every one of us in our life. You may not realize how important the brothers and sisters of Christ in your life. Jesus Christ was teaching us in the Last Supper, feet washing, communion, even when the adversity came at full force, he stood with his friends. He stood with his disciples. He stood for his family. He stood for fulfillment of Calvary. But on the Garden of Gethsemane, he could not stand. He knelt down. Because the iniquity of us, all of us, was placed upon him. That burden, that heaviness, that godly sorrow pulled him down, and he knelt and prayed, and we know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. House of God, the family of God. The last two Sundays, the sermon titles were Bethel, the house of God, Jerusalem, the city of God. Amen? What is a city? Multiple houses are built together, neighbors one to another, with streets to reach everyone, to travel across, so that you can access every single house. As long as you are in the same city, you do not have to worry about not finding the house of your loved one. It is always there. The Lord has placed the street, the narrow path. The Lord has placed the door always open, because new city, holy Jerusalem, the gates are never shut. For what? For fellowshipping. The gates of fellowshipping would not be shut in the promised land, in the blessed rest. Amen? Always singing, always dancing, always worshipping. And the Lord says, can I see that now? Can I see that in the times that I gave you grace? And we live a life where the fellowship of God holds the preeminence in our life. Now, that city, which is built with roads, streets, houses, but in those houses there are people inside. Amen? Then that city had a wall to protect the people, and every house had a gate or a door to protect the people inside the house. Which means, the Lord says, John 17 is a constant pattern God always used. Jesus prayed for himself, the bride denied herself first. Jesus prayed for himself, the bride reflected herself in the word first, to make sure the vessel is washed, thoroughly sharpened, pruned, growing according to the will and measure, the pleasure of God. Like how Jesus Christ was mentioned, he was growing in wisdom, in the stature, so that we can conform to what we do. So, house had a gate, city had a wall, and the wall had gates. So, protect the congregation, protect the city, protect the nation, shield and secure the nation that is going to the wall, expanding the territory. Protect the people, shield the people, shield the family that is going narrower to the house with the gate. And the streets of the city where the lame will jump and run. There are two lanes in scripture that you should never forget. One, the lane that we see in the book of Acts, chapter 3, who was healed by Peter and John. And one more lame who was not healed, but he was given a seat in the table of King David, the son of Jonathan. David loved Jonathan, and Jonathan gave his life. Jonathan stood with David throughout his life the best he can. Fellowship is what you call, I give my life. Have you seen many people in your office, your relatives, those who always give you sweet words, always give you a lot of encouragement, positivity? The time of storm, the time of trouble, you would not see them. They would disappear. Why? Too much words, too much assurance. But those who may, you may think that this man or this woman is not loving me, he would come and stand for you and he would die for you. The true agape does not need marketing. It is a lighthouse. It shines. The light does not need another light to, you know, increase the radius of the hope of eternal glory. It is what it is, because it is from who he is. I am that I am. That agape That agape. Jesus said, I will give my life for my friend, and he stood and he did. House of the Lord is a vineyard, and every one of us who are sitting here, you are rooted deeply in that vineyard as a tree. Amen? Tree has no legs, which means when the adversity comes, the adversity will tell you, move from here to here, turn to right, turn to left. But we would say, I'm a tree of life, filled by the life, the Lord who is called himself tree of life. We are the trees of righteousness. So what the scripture says, the fruit of righteousness, the seed of righteousness, sown in peace. So we thank the Lord. The house of God and the city of God is what we focused last two Sundays. And today we'll continue to meditate about the word Jerusalem. I just wanted to sing the song because it came to my heart last night about those lyrics. I love those lyrics. Those who left us because it was time for them to leave. All the true servants of God, all our loved ones, they were taken because the Lord blessed them to finish the race. But the Bible says you would meet them on the other side. Amen? Till we see in that light. Which means when Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is the light of that city, you would see the beautiful version of your brother, the beautiful version of your sister in the glorified form of what the Lord has given us. The Lord says, behold that glory, that beauty today, before he gives us the crown of glory. Believing in all good things, my brother, my sister, my family, not that family, that brother, that sister, that is Babylon. What is Jerusalem? My family, my brother, my sister. Amen. So we thank the Lord, for we will continue in the same road. Last Sunday we were meditating on different names. I wanted to show the meanings of those names. So today, before I start reading the scripture, let's go with the wall and gates of Jerusalem. There is a reason why I really want us to spend time in this. And now, let me take this as an example how the rebuilding of the wall was going on during the time of Nehemiah. Let's start with one by one. The first one, Tower of Mia. So I have even added the meaning in the image itself so that we all don't forget. Mia means 100, a tower of 100. It is located somewhere near the sheep gate and the prison gate. The next one is Tower of Hananel. As I mentioned, Hananel means graciously given, which also represents the tower of grace. So on the same direction, there are two main towers, Tower of Grace, Tower of 100. Next, Fish Gate. And next, Old Gate, which is also called Yishana Gate. And then Ephraim Gate. Remember the name Ephraim, the son of Joseph, children of Ephraim, children of Manasseh. Why the name of Manasseh is not mentioned? Was he ignored, hated, like the Lord says, Esau I hated, Jacob I loved? No, there is a reason why Ephraim's name is mentioned. Let's continue. The Tower of Ovens after the Ephraim Gate. Next, the Valley Gate. Why this Valley Gate? Because if you open the gate, you will go to the Valley of Hinnom, which I will show you shortly. Dung Gate at the very last or the corner. This is subject to a lot of different theories, but we are not about accuracy. We are only focusing on the essence of what we have to learn. So Dung Gate at the corner, which is the opposite to Sheep Gate, Tower of Grace, Tower of Mia, Dung Gate is at the extreme opposite. Fountain Gate, next to the Pool of Siloam and the tombs of David. And the Water Gate, of course, fountain should come from water. So Water Gate is here on the top. Then above the Water Gate, there is Horse Gate. So let's go slow and steady. The word horse should remind you of so many things. Book of Revelation. Oh, different horsemen will come. Okay, let's leave it there. In the Old Testament, Prophet Elijah was taken with the chariots of fire. And Elisha says, my father, chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Chariot of Israel is okay. What do you mean by horsemen thereof? A good way for us to be inspired is the book of Revelation, chapter 1 says, Jesus Christ, who revealed himself to the Apostle John, he was holding the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. And we also understand the importance of seven church ages. The Lord sent seven messengers, like people to go and forerun, no? Like a forerunner, go and prepare the way, like John the Baptist. There are people, like even the seven priests who blow the trumpet before the Ark of the Covenant, and Joshua and the people were circling around the city of Jericho. There were always some the Lord sent before, like to pull, you know, the chariot, to lead the people to go through ups and downs. Now, Horse Gate, another bad example is Athaliah. We cannot forget her name. Sometimes we remember Jezebel, but we don't remember Athaliah. But to be precise, the damage that Athaliah caused was way more higher than the damage Jezebel caused. Do you know? She destroyed almost every single seed of God except Joash. He escaped because there was a high priest to preserve him. Jehoiada. Amen? We had a sermon on that. It's very important. That is why I wanted to spend a few Sundays on this name, Jehoiada. How important man of God he was. A high priest, not a king, my brethren, not a king. A high priest who kept the life of King Joash. But the betraying consequence was the very same king, grown up, felt puffed up, felt good and strong. He killed the son of the high priest Jehoiada, whom he raised. The son of Jehoiada was killed by the order of King Joash. What a betrayal, isn't it? Joash forgot. My life was preserved. I was 6 years old. My life was preserved by this man of God. After Jehoiada died, the Bible says, all the days of Jehoiada, Joash was good. He was good. All the days of Jehoiada, Joash was good. So the Lord said, let's do this. He took the life of Jehoiada. Then Joash was exposed to his very own self. He killed his son. Rings a bell of a parable. The owner of the vineyard, the landlord, he left the place. He sent his son. And the servants killed the son. God so loved the world, gave his only son, and the world killed the son. But we always feel confident to say, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. But the verse is not complete. Let's complete by ourselves. The world killed him, murdered him, crucified him, insulted him, stripped him, put him into shame, and accused him of blasphemy. That is what the world did. The Lord did everything top-notch, full of agape. But what we did shows who we are. Jehoiada, like a father to Joash, did everything super, beautifully, perfect. But after Jehoiada died, what happened to the son of Jehoiada was the story of the whole earth. Forgetfulness, unfaithfulness, no gratefulness. Now, Horse Gate is a representation of beast. If you look at very carefully, on one side, Beast Gate that lives on earth or the land. On the other side, Fish Gate that swims in the ocean, isn't it? One that talks about, you know, during the times of flood, all the animals from the earth, the beast of the earth, they needed the ark to survive the flood, and all the fishes would simply smile at them, we don't need. I was meditating, Lord, what are these fishes representing? Liberation, liberty. Amen? Liberty, flood, or destruction, we will swim. We don't need a wood to carry our life. We are already can, you know, breathe in the living water. The fishes are a good representation of liberty. That's why Jesus said, I will make you as a fishers of men. He did not say horsemen. Fishers of men. You will catch fish which cannot live without the water. Who is the water? He is the water. The fountain of life. Horse Gate, Water Gate, Fountain Gate. It should remind you of so many things. We will go into each and every gate to see who is entering, who is coming out. Horse Gate is by which Athaliah entered. She could not enter any other gate. Horse Gate, there was a breach. There was a gap. And she was a queen. Amen? She was a queen. A queen Athaliah. A self-proclaimed queen. And that beastly gate opened the door for a beastly nature. She entered, but Jehoiada and Joash, they were in the center of the temple in those times. And Athaliah should have entered approximately this side, correct? This side. But the anointing of the king was done. After that, the armor of David, which represents Ephesians chapter 6, armor of God. Jehoiada gave the armor of David to the priest who stood with the king. All that are in the house. That is why I wanted to start the sermon with this song. The word says, the light was given to all that are not near the house, because Athaliah was near. Not outside the house, because Athaliah was outside. But only those who are inside the house, inside the temple. Why? The Bible says, only the humble shall see this. See what? Only the humble shall enter the Jerusalem. A head of pride cannot enter the gate of Jerusalem. We may enter the gates to run here and there, but entering into the Holy of Holies, no. Absolutely no. We can enter the city, because Athaliah was into the city. We cannot feel so good about ourselves because we are in the city. Doesn't matter. The Lord says, I am here, the Holy of Holies. Who will enter? The priest. Sanctified, consecrated, anointed. Now that beastly vessel was written to its own way through the same gate, not by other gate. Which means, the Lord says, this gate was profaned. It has been insulted, put to shame to my city. Before I destroy the whole city, wash it. How you wash it? Clean that serpentine nature in the same way it came. So, she was slain and she was taken out. Sword. The spirit of truth. Not the violence. We are in the New Testament, 7th church age. We know what it means. As long as we all hold on to the double-edged sword, the spirit of truth, which is spirit of unity, which is bond of perfectness. That unity, my brethren, it has a power that no world can resist. Because that power is a wall of fire. So this house, as you see, it was surrounded by a wall of fire because they were singing songs inside. Do you remember? Last Sunday, I read the verse. They were singing songs, high praises, exalting and glorifying the name of the Lord. But the adversary was waiting to fight with them. Come out, come out, come out. But they ignored her. They completely ignored her because the invasion did not happen inside the temple. It happened outside the temple. Anything outside the temple, it is not your battle. Do you know why? Sennacherib was outside the city. Amen? He sent Rabshakeh. They did not step inside. Did Hezekiah went out of the wall? No. Are those three watchmen, Hilkiah and the scribe, did they went out of the table or the wall? No. The angel of the Lord went before them and they eliminated all the adversaries around them. But before that, they put on sackcloth, they prayed. When they prayed, what happens? It's like an alabaster box of anointing oil breaks because you are burdened. And the sweet aroma fills the house. Which house? The house of God. When the sweet aroma fills the house, the Lord can smell. My people are offering my sacrifice. When he accepts it, that's it. When Shekinah glory accepts the sacrifice, the adversaries will be eliminated. So the gate is a demarcation, is a line that the Lord draws to give you the discernment and wisdom. What is your battle? Where is your feet should be standing? What you should be saying? Should I be justifying or should I be singing? The Lord says, sing. Sing unto me. Until the breach comes inside. Can anyone give an example? The breach happened inside? Nehemiah. The same Nehemiah. The same high priest who built the sheep gate. Let's turn our Bibles. Let's keep it there. Let's turn our Bibles. Nehemiah. I showed one breach that is outside the house. That is Athaliah. And I'm showing you one breach that is inside the house. That is the priest himself. Chapter 13, book of Nehemiah. We had gone through that before. But I want us to focus on the actions that Nehemiah took, which is exactly opposite to Jehoiada, the high priest, took.
Chapter 13, verse 4. Book of Nehemiah. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. Which means, there was an unholy fellowship happened between two. And the anointing of the high priest was compromised because he brought himself to a place where he is not supposed to. Do you remember when the Lord anoints Aaron, when Ananias anoints Apostle Paul, when there are so many types of anointing the Lord showed us, even in the river of Jordan, the baptism, the Holy Ghost touch. And remember, the word Holy Ghost is only used after the power of resurrection. Before that, it is all called as Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit. The power of resurrection is where we see the word Holy Ghost. If you see Holy Ghost before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it's a translational error. Because the Bible says, Jesus Christ on the cross, he gave up his ghost. And he went into Sheol, he was resurrected, and we all received the Holy Ghost. The Comforter. The Comforter. So now, here it says, the one who built the sheep gate. Remember, chapter 3, verse 1. Look at his name, chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib the high priest, chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. So, now, let me complete the sheep gate. Please go to the next view. After the heart gate, you have east gate. This is a very important gate, the entrance of our Lord. Then inspection gate, also called muster gate, and the prison gate and the sheep gate are together next to each other. There could be some minor changes here and there, but let's keep it for our understanding. The sheep gate and the prison gate are somewhat closer to each other. Now, this is the sheep gate. Amen. So Eliashib and the brethren, they started the first gate with the doors from here. Then they go all the way this direction, comes all the way back to sheep gate. So it's a perfect circle. Like the song that we sang today, the circuit, no? Like a rider from one place to go back and come back to the sheep gate again. So now, chapter 13 again. Verse 5, and he had prepared for him a great chamber, wherefore aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers and the potters, and the offerings of the priests, verse 6. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. In a single verse, Nehemiah gives us a lesson. When the vessel of God, which was filled with the power of the Lord's anointing, when the vessel of God was not present, when the vessel of God was not in the vicinity of the fellowship, something happened to Eliashib. He built friendship with Tobiah. Because verse 4, 6 says, in all this time, whatever happened, I was not there. Was not I at Jerusalem? I was not inside Jerusalem. This time, the breach happened within. Not, you know, outside the temple, but inside the temple. A breach happened, not even the outer court, in the chambers of the inner court. For in the 230th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. So he said he went for an errand, you know, some task. By the time he went and came, very similar to what I showed you before, Jehoiada was alive, the Lord took him, Jehoiada went to a better place, and Joash became an evil man. Nehemiah was there, a good man, the Lord builder. Nehemiah was sent, and Eliashib became influenced by an adversary. And this Eliashib was the high priest who built the first gate, sheep gate. And Jesus Christ told all of us, you will not see me for a while. Oh woman, don't touch me. I am going to my father, your father, my God, your God, don't touch me. I must present myself holy, sanctified, consecrated. Don't cause any breach in my body. Amen? Or else, the Lord has no reason to tell her, don't touch me. Why? All have sinned. We fall short of the glory of the Lord. And the woman was standing in front of the glory of the Lord. She was influenced by her emotions. Oh, my Lord, my rabbi, my teacher. He was not her teacher at that point of time. The glorified Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the complete manifestation of God Almighty. And the Lord said, don't touch me. Do not enter into the gates of my divine glorious body. He was not forsaking her. He was teaching her. The time will come. We will dance together. Amen. We all will receive the crown of glory. Until then, the bride cannot touch the groom because the groom is holy. And the Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Isaac won't touch Rebecca if Rebecca is not in the full agape for Isaac. So now, here, some invasion happened, some breach happened. I want you to see the gate of this breach. Verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem, case closed. If Nehemiah was killed outside, the breach would have grown up bigger and bigger. You don't need King Babylon when there is a sickness deep within. That sickness will destroy the city itself. Babylon would say, thank God, I can save my economy. No need to waste money on weapons. They would destroy themselves. But the Lord sent Nehemiah again, which means a time of silence, a time of entrance. When he entered, he understood of the evil, which means until he stepped inside Jerusalem, the revelation was not given to him. Amen. He was thinking and believing good things. My brethren, my family, my Eliashib, my builders, my gates. He was in full assurance. Went and finished the work of the Lord, came inside. The moment he stepped inside Jerusalem, the anointing of the Lord will make you to feel something is wrong. Why? Jesus was walking on the road in the midst of crowd, and the woman who needed help, healing, she touched him. The Lord says, I feel my virtue left. How come? Because the Lord can feel what is going in, what is going out. He felt his virtue left. And he told the woman after resurrection, another woman, don't touch me. I'm going to completely present myself as a beautiful victory of God's promise. God gave his only son. The son gave all glory, all honor back to the father. One God, one savior. So now, here, Nehemiah enters. He understood means understanding. That is spirit of truth. Evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, which means Tobiah asked Eliashib to do this evil, and Eliashib did this for Tobiah. Similar to Judas, he did evil for the chief captain, priests, Pharisees, Sadducees. They told him, just sell your prince of life for 30 pieces of silver. How about 35? No, 30 is the final price. Okay, round number. Settle. He sold Jesus for 30. Who started the ministry after 30. Maybe he thought, maybe a good number. 30. Judas did evil for the people of the world. And Nehemiah also had the same experience of Eliashib, did the evil for Tobiah, who was an adversary. If you remember, who is Tobiah? Verse 7 says, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. My precious dear brethren, this is more serious than Athaliah. Why? Athaliah could not enter the temple. She was thrown out. But Eliashib was a medium the adversary used to devise the heart, which means the heart gate of Eliashib was compromised. The mind gate of Eliashib was compromised. The hand, the work gate of Eliashib was compromised because Tobiah took over. And Eliashib did something inside. And not inside, it says, he was able to make a chamber inside the chamber for Tobiah. And I grieve me so, do not grieve the Holy Ghost. And it grieved me so. He's expressing his burden. Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Lord, if you had some commitment, just do it. Don't complain, okay? If you are going to die for our sins, just do it. Don't come and tell us you are always burdened. No. The Lord was not concerned about the death on Calvary, my brethren. If apostles can freely offer their life for Christ, the Lord is not weaker than them. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Ask the Lord for revelation. It's a pain of betrayal. He is not worried about the cross or the wounds and stripes on his body. If the servants of God can receive it freely, how about him, the one who gives the faith to them? He is not concerned about the pain or the agony of cross, but the betrayal of the people shouting from the side, crucify him, crucify him. He created them. Tell me, which one is painful for Christ? The caning or the smoting or the stripping? No. The cursing of his very own creation, telling him, crucify him, crucify him. That, the Lord says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Why? Betrayal. But for all of us, most of the time, my body is exceedingly sorrowful unto death by cold and cough, fever, or some sickness. But the Lord says, for me, it's betrayal. For the Lord, it's betrayal. That is the reason in the Old Testament, whenever you see the Lord get angry, you should not see the anger. You should see the pain that is behind the anger. You should see the agony that is behind the anger. The Father who loved us more than anything that he want, yet the people betrayed him. Pain. So he decided to preserve the remnant. To preserve the remnant, he must destroy. He destroyed for one reason, again to save. Because he is a savior. He destroyed to save. He saved to save. He cleaned to save. He washed to save. He healed you to save. Whatever he does, it is for your salvation. Now, Nehemiah comes, understood what happened, a betrayal, stabbing in the back for him, by making a chamber for Tobiah. And verse 9, then I commanded. Let's read verse 8 again. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah, not Eliashib, of Tobiah, out of the chamber. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Adam, Eve, thrown out of the garden. Miriam was thrown out of the camp. What is the difference? The Lord put them in a ward that the mind of the Lord might be shewed. What can I do this to them? Let me give them grace. Let me see if they repent, because I created them in my image, in my likeness. I trust my creation. Let them come back to me. And Nehemiah, he removed the stuff of Tobiah, which means the adversary clinging onto the mind of a vessel of God somehow find a way to breach in. Book of Job, chapter 1 says, the adversary found a hitch ride, booked a taxi. Some vessel gave a free ride, sitting on the mind, just came to the congregation where the Lord was speaking. The Lord knows. The adversary is sitting. So, that adversary was sent by God to test Job, for Job to receive greater blessings later. Not just that, for all of us to learn from the life of Job how faithful God is. And the power of resurrection was even showed in the time of Job, who lived in the time of Abraham. He is not in the New Testament. Amen. He lived long ago. How come the Lord gave them children? Everything. He restored everything. Amen. Restored everything double. So the breach and the gate. If the gate is locked, it is sealed. If someone gave the key to someone, it's a breach. Or if there is a crack in the wall, it is also a breach. Amen? Now, this is a crack in the wall, crack in the heart of your wall, mind of your wall. Something penetrated. When verse 10 says, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone onto his field. What is the portion? Let's remember. What is the name of Prophet Jeremiah's father? Hilkah. What is the meaning of Hilkah? The portion of Yah. Similar to the part of the word. Portion of Yah. Part of the word. And where is Jeremiah from? Anathoth. Amen? The land of Anathoth. Now let's remember this. Let's turn our Bibles to book of Isaiah. Chapter 28. Now, before you close this image, let's remember all these gates and all these towers. Can you place, there are two more valleys. Hinnom Valley, yes, one more. Kidron Valley. Now, two valleys on two sides. We are going to read book of Isaiah. I want you to remember the two valleys. It is easy for you to picture this map. On one side, Hinnom Valley, the evil of counsel. The evil counsel. Let's keep it simple. On the other side, Kidron Valley, dark, gloomy valley. This is where David was walking when Shimei was throwing stones. Amen? David was walking through the Kidron Valley when Shimei was throwing stones. Jesus Christ also walking through the same valley before he go to Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Garden of Gethsemane is here. After the valley. You should go through a valley to reach the Garden of Gethsemane. Hinnom Valley is the evil side of it, which we studied last Sunday. Next please. Now let's have a simple representation of the same map in a horizontal manner so that you remember Hinnom Valley is here and again Kidron Valley is here. Okay? So that we use these two valleys as a landmark for us to understand how the city is positioned. Hinnom, Kidron. Now, the sheep gate is here, goes all the way around, comes back all the way to sheep gate. And the east gate is here, which means this is the east side. East gate is here, horse gate is here, inspection gate is here. This is east gate. So now, do you remember the importance of east gate? The beautiful gate of temple, it is here in the temple. Amen? This is on the wall. These are gates of the wall. This is gate of the temple. Beautiful gate is here. And east gate is here. This is the entrance of the prince. The Lord's entry. As we are all waiting. We will go there. So now remember this. From this image, I want you to remember two gates. East gate, horse gate. Amen. Now let's please stop. Let's turn your Bibles to book of Isaiah chapter 28. Book of Isaiah chapter 28. Brother Clement, read this for us. From verse 21 to 23 please. 21 to 23.
Yes. Isaiah 28, 21 to 23. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. And therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts, the destruction determined even upon the whole earth. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech.
Amen. Verse 21 says, the Lord will rise up as mountain Perazim. Remember the name Perazim? Baal Perazim. Baal, Lord, Perazim, breakthroughs. Some breakthrough. The Lord granted an overcoming victory. The Lord says he will rise up as Mount Everazim, which means like a mountain of breakthrough. Not a valley of failure, a mountain of breakthrough. But not just that, he added one more comparison of valley of Gibeon. Why? Like a mountain of Perazim and the valley of Gibeon. We sing a song, right? God of the mountain, God in the valley. And the Lord says, I will do a strange work. Book of Isaiah, in King James Version, you will read this verse as strange work, which means you would not be able to predict me. I will do a strange work. Could be act of judgment, act of mercy, act of grace, act of blessing, miracle. You never know. But you know that whatever he does, he brings forth life. He saves people. He loves his people. That you know. That is assurance that we have. Blessed assurance. And the Lord says, I will do a strange work, strange act. I want you to remember this word. Strange work, strange act. Because the word is very negative in the Old Testament. The sons of Aaron, they offered strange fire in the holy presence of God. The Lord looked at them, doing strange work is my duty. He burned them. But that strange is an unholy, filthy, abomination type of strange. But this strange is divine. The perfect will of God. The mind of God that no man can know. Jesus Christ says, the hour of the Son of Man's coming, even I don't know. Only the Father knows. That strange thing. That almighty attitude. Only the Lord knows, the King of Kings. And here, Isaiah says, Perazim, Mount Perazim, a mountain of breakthrough, and also a valley of dealing with his people. Strange work, strange act. Amen? Now, I want us to complete few verses in book of Isaiah. Chapter 45. Verse 1 to 7, my brother. Chapter 45, verse 1 to 7.
Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron. I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that you may know from the rising of the sun to the setting, that there is none beside me.
Amen.
I am the Lord.
Amen.
There is no other.
Yes.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things.
There is none beside him. I am the Lord, there is none else. Verse 5, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, thou hast not known me. Do you know how powerful the word is? The Lord says, although you do not know me, I have revealed myself to thee. I am the Lord, your God. And I thank the Lord for showing me a fountain of life in the book of Jeremiah, which helped me to understand this verse so beautifully. Let's remember, chapter 45 says, verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. The places are crooked, the Lord says, I will go before thee, I will make it straight. Sometimes we think we prepare the way for the Lord, like a forerunner. The Lord says, hello, I go before you. He prepared the way for us. He is the one doing everything. We are nothing but his instruments. Amen? Instruments. John the Baptist says, I am not the light. He is the true light. I'm just a mirror. Nothing. If the light shines his face, I will shine. If not, I'm dark and dead. I will go before thee and make thee crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in the sunder the bars of iron. The Lord says, I will break the doors. I will make a way. I will destroy all the obstacles. Don't worry. After the Lord says, there is no one like me. He says, there is no one who loves you like me. That is the full version of it. There is none beside me who loves you. There is none beside me who take care of you. I am the one, the only one who loves you. Amen. There is no other love. God is love. And verse 6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. Verse 7, I form the light, thank you Lord, and create darkness, no Lord, please. I stay away from this. I make peace, I receive it. I create evil, I forsake you. I, the Lord, do all things. In a single verse, the Lord can test us, which side are we standing. If we praise the Lord for Mount Perazim, if we forsake him for Valley of Gibeon, the Lord would say, I will do a strange act. What act? Strange act, I won't tell you. And here it says, the Lord forms the light and creates darkness. He is not creating darkness, you see. He forms the light and he identifies himself in the light. When the Lord clothes himself with darkness, it means he is not bound to darkness. Outside him is all darkness. Amen? Inside him, there is light. The light of the city. The Lord says, come to my marvelous light. Inside, not outside. Athaliah will stand outside. But High Priest Jehoiada will stand inside. Because the light is inside. But what if the darkness find a hitch ride to Tobiah to come to the light? The Lord would keep on move. Why? Light hate darkness. Light consume darkness. Light separate itself with darkness, because where there is light, there is no darkness. Now, remember this. I make peace and create evil. And we say amen, because the Lord do everything for good. And the Lord says, I create light and I form darkness. I form light and I create darkness. I say amen. Because in the darkness, I will still see pillar of fire. Amen. The Lord of Israel led them by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. People like cloud. They don't like pillar of fire. Because some people like day, some people like night. God is not a restaurant owner to serve you what you like. He is the I Am. If you have the discernment, you see Him as a pillar of cloud. If you have the discernment, you would still rejoice no matter whether it is day or night. Because He is not changing. He just speaks to us in a way that we can understand Him. In darkness, with light. In the daytime, with a cloud. Now, 45 presents about breaking the gates and the Lord's proclamation of who He is. And 28 talks about what the Lord would do, strange things. The mountain of breakthrough will do strange things. Now, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10 to 12, brother. 60, 10 to 12.
The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I had mercy on you. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles, and their kings in procession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined.
Verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. That is book of Revelation. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. In verse 11, you see both day and night. Amen. But in the book of Revelation, there is no night. Chapter 21. There is no night. That is book of Revelation. And this is type and prefiguration of what the Lord would do. Now, book of Isaiah and book of Jeremiah and book of Ezekiel. If you position their time in the Lord's prophetical timeline, Isaiah and Hezekiah. But Isaiah came to the ministry when King Uzziah died. Amen? Because King Uzziah and Isaiah, they had some friendship. And Isaiah was broken when King Uzziah died. And the Lord revived him. He formed team with Hezekiah. Then, prophet Jeremiah, he is different. The Lord gave him five tortures, five different kings, like grace, gracious torture. Because none of them stood with him. Josiah was the only good king, the very last good king. But before Josiah, there was a king called Manasseh. 50 years plus, he was ruling the people of Judah. Josiah was the last good king. Amen? Then after that, everyone fell miserably. Jeremiah stood. He was standing firm, even when the kingdoms were shaking. Do you see? That's an attitude of a king, not a prophet. Because Elijah was running from Jezebel. But Jeremiah stood. The entire multitude came before him. He stood because he had nothing to lose. Amen? He had nothing to lose. The Lord used him. His life is complete. His only burden was to live until he prayed for the people. Amen? To live until he bring forth petition to the people. Because the Lord told him, this is your task. Kneel, cry and pray. Like Hannah. Pray for the people, because I don't want to destroy all of them. So he placed a man to stand in the gap. He put his spirit upon him. Now this prophet Jeremiah, although he had seen many kings, the captivity was not avoided. Ezekiel, Daniel, those two prophets, they will continue the flame. They were performing the Lord's work in different places, different time, after Jeremiah. So if you bring these four prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. The first two, Yah. The last two, El. Amen? Did you notice that? The first two, Isaiah, Jeremiah. The last two, Ezekiel. Daniel. Now, after captivity, King Nebuchadnezzar, he would even go and change the name of Prophet Daniel. We are going to look at all of those. Like how David changed the name of place, how the Lord changed the name of people. The Gentile king changed the name of Daniel himself. So now, let's remember these four prophets, because now we are moving from Isaiah to Jeremiah, because I'm going to move to Ezekiel. That's why I wanted to paint the picture. Now we are in Isaiah. Let's turn to Ezekiel. So I'm jumping the wall of Jeremiah. We will come to him to read again later. Now go to Ezekiel. Chapter 46. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verse 1 to 3, my brother. Verse 1 to 3 and also 9 to 12, please.
Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and on the day of the new moon it shall be open. The priest shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside and stand by the gatepost. The priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. There he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at entrance of this gateway before the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. Verse 9 to 12. Verse 9. But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And whoever enters by the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate to which he came, but shall go through the opposite gate. The prince shall then be in their midst. When they go in, he shall go in. When they go out, he shall go out. All the festivals and the appointed feast days, the grain offering shall be an ephah for a bull, an ephah for a ram. As much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hin of oil for every ephah. Now, when a prince made a voluntary burnt offering or voluntary peace offering to the Lord, The gate that faces towards the east shall then be opened for him, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering as he did on the Sabbath day, that he shall go out, and after he goes out, the gate shall be shut.
After his going forth, one shall shut the gate. First three verses talks about the gate toward east and an instruction given, it shall be shut 6 working days. Chapter 46 verse 1. 6 days it shall be shut. On the Sabbath day it shall be opened. Sabbath is the Lord of my Sabbath. He is the rest of my life. On the Sabbath day it shall be opened. Of the new moon it shall be opened. Verse 2, the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate without, and shall stand by the post of that gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offerings and his peace offerings. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening, which means the gate is going to be shut in the night time. You can work only when it is a day. When the night cometh, no man can work. If the prince who is going to enter in the gate will come and stand at the gate, and all the priests preparing offerings so the prince can worship, there is a work going on. Amen? In the daytime. When the evening comes, the gate, you know, the gate was supposed to be shut, but the verse says, the gate shall not be shut until the evening, not after the evening. Amen? After means what? Night. Which means the gate will be shut in the night. The night cometh, no man can work. So now, verse 3 says, likewise the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. So it's talk about, the whole chapter is about the east gate, the east and the inner gate. Amen. The east and the inner gate, inner. So now, verse 9, it talks about the people. Verse 1, 2, 3 talks about the prince. So I wrote here, the prince, the word prince is focusing on the gate toward east, inner court. But for the people, they will enter by north, exit by south. They would not exit by the same way they entered. They are not Athaliah. Athaliah entered hard gate. And after she was slain, they took her away from the place through the same gate, not opposite gate. Because opposite gate is fish gate. Amen? If you are standing here, on the other side, beyond the temple, it is fish gate, not horse gate. Now, verse 9 says, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship, not to play, not to fight, not to reason, not to increase knowledge. Worship, true worshippers of God will enter the north gate, will exit by the south gate. Remember I showed you the Herod's temple. It is not Herod's temple. This guy stole the name. David built it. Solomon built it. It was broken, repaired. Nehemiah repaired it. Many people claim the temple. Because why the Lord throw it? Captivity after captivity. The Lord throw the temple. Are you the temple of Holy Ghost? If we are all the temple of Holy Ghost, you can look back how many times adversary ruled you. When your pain, in your weariness, in your anger, in your depression, we might have made so many mistakes, so many poor understanding. It's nothing but the temple of the Lord was breached and the enemy had some show for a moment. Then the Lord repaired it and the enemy was thrown out. The temple learned, oh, I am not going to this again. I learned, I have a scar. If you are a good soldier, you would not get the same scar on the same body, on the same part, because you know how the enemy attacked you. You know how to defend. So that defensive mechanism is your faith put into work. Exercise your faith. We learn. The Lord is teaching us. It's a training ground. Amen? It's a training ground. Now, Herod's temple, which means 20 AD, he repaired the temple like Nehemiah, but he's not Nehemiah. Nehemiah had the intention of doing it for the glory of the Lord. Herodias and all the different people who ruled or who had the, you know, power, principality over those buildings, they thought they had dominion over the people of God. No. The Lord gave them the bricks, the buildings, no, the palaces. But there is no life. The lively stones are walking tall apostles. They were thinking, look at the size of the temple. I took it from King Solomon. Look at all the gold. It is mine now. 12 apostles, precious than gold, running here and there preaching gospel. Nobody see them. Ignorant people, weak people. What is strong tower to you? The name of God, not the strong tower. The name of God which is written on your forehead. Amen? So now, people enter by north gate, exit by south gate. I showed you from the Herod's temple overview, Gentiles court were placed on both north and south. Amen? North gate and south gate. But there was a veil that was hiding all the holy of holies from them. It was only open for the anointed priests. And Jesus Christ is teaching a lesson. The woman who was asking him, give me some bread, I'm hungry. She was asking for a healing miracle. The Lord says, I'm not going to give you the bread that was supposed to be given to Israel. He said, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. And she said, I know you came for sheep. But can you have mercy on this dog? What she said? What she said? If you throw the breadcrumbs, as a dog I will eat. What was the last beast mentioned in the book of Bible? Dog. Amen? Chapter 22. Outside are dogs. He is not insulting. He is not... No, he is not doing any of those. He is telling all of us, the beastly nature of us that was given to us by serpentine nature in the Garden of Eden. The Lord is washing, thoroughly cleaning, purging us by the blood of Christ. And He's bringing us back to the Garden of Eden. Outside is beast. Inside, the beautiful child of God. Sometimes we are emotionally influenced by the failure in work or health issue or by your own hurt, you bring everything to spiritual as if the Lord is doing all of this in your life, as if the Lord is leading you, the Lord is speaking through you, the Lord is doing all of this. You put all the name upon the Lord just to feel defensive, feel good, protected. The Lord would look at us and you would know whether we are standing inside the court or outside the court. We may have one leg inside, one leg outside. Do you know? Yes. The Lord wants us to remember the grace He gave to Gentiles. He said very clearly, I came for the lost sheep of Israel, but we are all the sheep. Everyone is precious to Him. We are all children of God. The Lord says, do not forget the mercy I gave you. You know why? He still reaped the harvest throughout the captivity of Israel. From those Gentiles, we are holding scriptures. If there was no Gentile age, do you think we would be standing here? Because the Jews, they were never, ever ready to open the gate for anyone. The Lord forced them by power and He put them on their knees. Then He led them to be ruled by Romans, Persians, Syrian, Cyrus and Persian kingdom. Different kings they came at a success. He bring them down by power. But in their weakness, we receive mercy. From heathen we left. If the Lord did not allow those heathen to rule Israel, none of us would be standing here. That is how important King Nebuchadnezzar is. That is how the Lord says, my servant, King Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't it? He said, my servant, Lord, King of Babylon, my servant. The king of Judah, Manasseh, was doing more evil than King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, isn't it? The Lord is not identifying Himself by the blood of your earthly realm. He looks at the spiritual person who you are. The non-believer can bring a smile to God's face than a believer can bring grief, anger and pain. That is what we read in the book of Jeremiah. That is exactly what we need to know as a seventh church age. Why? He will do the same thing. He will shake us. Those who are holding onto His truth will not fall. Those who are dancing and merry, feeling so confident, I will stand in the bus without holding the, handrail. The driver will press the sudden brake, 100 kilometers, you will break, the glass will go out. Because your feet is actually moving. You are not on the standing ground. It's moving. The grace of the Lord is moving at a speed that you do not know. If you stop the brake, suddenly, we will be jumping here and there if you are not holding on to Him, the hand of God. So now, the north gate, south gate, there must be a reason why the people were not allowed to go to the same place. A beautiful example that I could bring you, Lazarus. Imagine the Lord is standing at the south side, Lazarus on the north side. He's dead, okay? He's behind the gate of his prison door, which is tomb. The Lord says, take the stone away. The people remove the gate. And Lazarus coming out with a dirty clothing of dead body. But inside the body is fully restored. The Lord says, the outer garment does not represent the inner flesh. Change him, give him new garment. Okay? So from north gate, Lazarus opened the gate, came outside. If he says, I'm going to the north gate, you are going back to the tomb. Isn't it? Grace moving forward. We are changing from glory to glory. Not going back to the same cave, rot in the same understanding, rot in the same pain, rot in the same bondage, telling the Lord is not here, the Lord is not delivering, I'm waiting for the healing. Family of God has no familiar spirit. Family of God has only one spirit, and that spirit belongs to the one who created that family, God Almighty. Once you enter the north gate, you don't go south. When I say you don't go south, don't go back north. You march forward, the Lord will take you to different heights, different places. Because from east gate, horse gate, sheep gate, as you remember the picture, on the other side, there is no valley. But if you come down all the way, Kidron Valley, Hinnom Valley. If you want to play a game, walking on a very tight rope, you will fall either side, right or left, you will still fall in the valley. And God tells Joshua, do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left. Because it's a very tight, narrow path. We should reach the Holy of Holies. Amen? We should reach the Holy of Holies. So now, verse 12 says, when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or peace offering voluntarily unto the Lord. Gardener Gethsemane came to my heart. I did not understand the word voluntary. What is voluntary? Because you can do so many things dutifully, you know. You can do just because you should do this, no choice. For example, I can come to church Sunday, I must preach. If I don't preach, people will say bad about me. I should make them happy, show some interesting news, so that everybody says, oh, brother, proceed, good sermon. I can come, right? I can do that. Because I'm trying to do that. If I do that, shame on me. I should not come here as a person who I work in the office. I should come here as a child who was fearfully, wonderfully made in the womb of my mother. No, nothing. The Lord is watching all of us. How do we serve Him? Why we serve Him? What is the intent of we serve Him? What is exactly you are expecting from that service? The Lord knows, because He will scan through your heart to the deepest intention that you don't even know, not aware of. Oh, was I doing this? The Lord says, reflect yourself in the mirror of Scripture. The one who built the sheep gate became an adversary. Can you believe that? Inside the church, inside the congregation, inside the house, all the denominated churches, they have become the adversary against the apostolic faith that was given to Peter. The Lord took Peter, or Saint Peter Church. The Lord took Saul, Saint Saul Church. The whole world loves idol worship. Amen? They love idol worship. Every time the Lord takes a vessel, the spirit of Jezebel will smell. Just nice time, everybody is shaken, weak, let's go and attack and divide everything. Because that spirit of Athaliah is still at full force against the royal seats of God. Spirit of Jezebel means spirit of divination. Divide and rule. Divide and rule. Divide and rule. The 12 disciples that united in the Last Supper. Oh, not good. Divide and rule. Judas was divided. Then they ruled over the body of the Lord. Crucify him. As long as the family of God stay knitted together, my brother, my sister, my family, the adversary will come and say so many things. Sorry, my ear gate shut. Oh, I'm going to give you some bad dreams. My mind gate is shut. Oh, I'm going to show you some evil things. My eye gate is shut. Let's speak evil of this someone. My mouth gate shut. Oh, you have 5 senses. Yes, all 5 senses shut. Open only for the good tidings of the Lord. Open only for true worshipping. Open only for praising. Open only for blessing, not to cursing. Open only for speaking things that are life. Things about the Lord, not about you, not about us. Amen? When the Lord is watching all of us, don't you see? You are the new city, Holy Jerusalem. How many gates you have? Your senses, your thoughts, your heart, your mind. The agape always goes to the heart. The Bible always hits the heart when it talks about agape. When the Bible talks about wisdom, discernment, mind of Christ goes to the head, the mind. Eyes, vision, ear, listening, mouth, speaking, not just that, also eating. The same way you eat, the same way you speak. Not just that. The same nostrils I used to smell the food is also the same nostril I breathe the air that doesn't smell and I live. Smelling, breathing, eating, speaking. Why? The Lord allowed us to be made us in such a way. 2 eyes, right side, left side, like north gate, south gate. 2 ears, right gate, left gate. 1 mouth, not 2 mouths. Double-minded man. Do you remember the scripture? Double-minded man. Because the Lord gave us only 1 mind. Eliashib had only 1 mind. But the mind of Tobiah added double mind. The child of God, only 1 mind. The mind of Christ. The adversary entered double mind. But Elisha said, so many evil double. Lord, give me double anointing from the vessel of God. Double. Job restored double. The Lord is speaking to us the way He created you. And the way He allowed the land to be invaded and sealed. Now, priests were mentioned, people were mentioned, the prince was mentioned, right? Now let's go, chapter 44, verse 1 to 8, my brother. Look how beautiful the word of God is. Chapter 44, verse 1 to 8.
Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces towards the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter it.
No man.
Because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore, Amen. It shall be shut. As for the prince, because he is the prince, he may sit in it and eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the vestibule of the great way and go out the same way. Also, he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary.
Amen.
Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to defile it, my house. And when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you.
But ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourself. What kind of statement it is? I asked you to do my work according to my spirit, my will, but you have done everything according to your own arrangements. The apostolic faith from the first church is, it is keep on degrading, polluting, confounded by the desire of people want to be someone. And the Lord decided the Bible will be compiled in the first church age itself. No more additions. Don't quote any man beyond the absolute word of God. Amen. We can be inspired. We can learn. Get the blessedness. But there is no fountain of life other than this. None. It is all here. There is no revelation outside. There is no prophecy outside. There is no healing outside. There is no new outside. Solomon says there is nothing new under the sun. Which sun? The understanding of God. So now, here it says, God of Israel entered by it. But still, people could not understand Godhead. The revelation of Jesus Christ, do you know, it has been given to the apostolic faith. Amen? The reason why the Jews could not see it, because although it is written plainly in the book of Ezekiel, because here it says, the prince will enter, offer the worship, the same gate toward east, that is 46. Chapter 44 says God of Israel himself entered. But the blindness of Israel has been allowed in such a way they don't read New Testament. In their synagogues, they read only Nevi'im, Ketuvim, no, the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, all the prophets' books, they all read this. But why they could not see the complete manifestation of God's word, Jesus Christ is the Savior? Because the apostolic faith has to be manifested. The power of resurrection, the Holy Ghost, was given to apostles. The revelation of Jesus Christ must come from apostolic faith. Until and unless that we embrace the apostolic faith, we can't see what's happening. It's a Holy Ghost fire, my brethren. Do you understand why we are all able to understand what the Lord wanted to see? Because we are soaking by the apostolic faith. Many people gave their life for it. Many people were slain for that, for us to receive the pouring of the Holy Ghost. That is why we see. It is written in plain. You see the verse 44, verse 2. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord God of Israel. I said, during the time of Ten Commandments, God speaks to Moses, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Amen? I am the Lord thy God. Yahweh, Elohim, El. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. I am the Lord, your Savior. The Lord is Lord when He deals judgment, what He's going to do. When He comes as Savior, He goes to El, which is, I am your Savior. I am the Lord, your God. God of Israel. He says, God of Israel hath entered in by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. Who will enter the gate? We know who is coming. All the kings of the earth are dancing. But the king is coming. Whether they like it or not, they will go on their knees. Whether they truly repent or not, they will embrace the fear of God. And they will say, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And that Lord is speaking. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut. God of Israel entered by it. Chapter 46 says, Prince. That is why the language that we are allowed to learn, it has become a weakness of our life also. Prince of life, oh small. Prince of peace, oh small. God of peace, oh high. Oh God of peace, Prince of peace. You see, this is where we fail. Prince means giving birth, right? Bring forth. God of peace gives me peace. Prince of peace, He gives peace. Son of man, the Prince of peace, God of peace. We are confounded by language and we misunderstand that it is knowledge. That's the problem. But when a mother gives birth to a child, they don't speak in Spanish or French or, you know, whatever the language is like. The child will say something crazy. The mother simply keep on kissing the child. That language is what God speaks to us. The language of love. Amen? Agape. Everything else is just a, you know, signboard for us to understand that. Now, verse 3 says, it is for the prince, he shall sit in to eat the bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate and shall go out by the way of the same. There are a lot of princes the Bible addresses. Prince of Tyre, Prince of Peace, Prince of Life. There are some princes against God, even the Antichrist. Not all the Christ are from God, because Christ means anointed. There are so many anointed in an evil way, in a fleshful way, but there is one anointed in the only way, in the godly way. Now, 44, we read this. Read this from verse 9 to 16, brother, so that we go back to the book of Isaiah.
Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore I raise my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord, that they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near me to minister to me as a priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I'll make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that is done in it. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me. They shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge.
Amen. So, starting from the gate where God enters, and the prince where the offering is made, and the people who are called to serve, the Lord was drawing the line, instructions. That is why you see book of Nehemiah, what happened when Eliashib opened the chamber for a piece of evil advice from the adversary. Nehemiah came inside, understood the evil, he immediately rectified it. If he did not rectify it, that would have put the entire process in jeopardy, because God would judge them. Now, chapter 44 presents the importance of us understanding why the Lord called us, why the Lord loved us first. Are we doing everything for our own sake? Are we doing this because we want to enter into heaven? The Lord can smell all our thoughts. The Lord can smell the intents of our heart. The Lord can decode and do a postmortem of every decision we made. Then He will give it back to us to drink. Like Moses, how he gave the golden calf. Because He is righteous. And He wants us to love Him for who He is. Amen? Just because of who He is. No matter what happens in my life. Whatever is around me. That doesn't matter between my agape and His agape. Because there is only one agape. Like a child loves the mother. The creation loves God. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 21. 21 verse 18 to 23. I shall read this. 21 verse 18 to 23. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, again came unto me saying, also thou, son of man, appoint thee two ways. The sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land. And choose thou a place, choose it at the head of the way to the city. The Lord talks about two ways. Verse 20, appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbah of the Ammonites and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defenced. On one side, the word Ammonites are mentioned. On the other side, Jerusalem is mentioned on the same path. Like two ways. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. What? Divination. The desire to split, divide. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was a divination for Jerusalem. To appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount and to build a fort. Because in order for him to do all of this, the gates must be compromised. A simple example, in order for me to be part of a gossip, my ear gate must open. I should listen to what someone say and I should nod my head. Yeah, I agree. Then we are the same team. Gossipers. Evil gossip. Because my gate was opened. I opened. But the mind needs to acknowledge, correct? Ear gate, mind gate should work together and I should deceive the evil thought in my heart gate. See how many gates I have. But when everything goes into my heart, that is where the breach happens, my dear brethren. Similar to the Holy of Holies. How we discern and filter, how we embrace silence and be still steadfast in the five senses, instead of taking it to heart, because the Lord says, take heed to your heart. Only what He said should go to my heart. Amen? The Bible says, do not hear all the words of man. Why? Not all are from the Lord. Now, remember this as we continue to read this. Verse 23, and it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths, but He will call to remembrance the iniquity that they may be taken. What? Even you will call remembrance. I thought the Lord remembers the good works that we do. And He told us, bless the Lord of my soul, forget not His benefits, remember what He did. The Lord said, I will remember the iniquity. Because He chose to forget, He can choose to remember. But the triggering point He has given to us. You decide. You decide. You know how true the Bible is? The same weighing scale you use to weigh others, the Lord would use the same way multifold, not in the same fold. Why? You receive grace and mercy. You are not a foreigner to the kingdom of God. You are inside the kingdom of God. The Lord says, I will deal with Israel 7 times, not 1 time. Lord, have some mercy. Give some tithing. 7 divided by 7. 1. 1 time you deal with us. The Lord says, I give you 1. Myself. Exceedingly great reward. You rebel against me. I will deal with this 7. Why? He has a way of dealing with His children for salvation. If you profane His name, He will do in the same way. So now the Lord wants his children to come to awakening, spiritual awakening, to see him, not to see what he has given, but to see him. Now, verse 24 to 27, brother. With this, we go to Isaiah. 24 to 27.
Therefore, thus says Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are covered, so that all your doings, your sin appear. Because you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken in hand. Now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end. Thus says the Lord God, remove the turban, take off the crown, nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble, and the humble, and humble the exalted. Overthrown, overthrown, I'll make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him.
I will give it to him. So now, overturn, overturn, overturn. Do you see this in three times? Three times. Overturn, overturn, overturn. Similar to Jesus Christ, went and overturned all the tables who were merchandise, who were profaning the courts of the city, the temple. The Lord said he overthrew all the tables. Overturn, overturn, overturn. But why he is speaking like that? Because we need to learn from Book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 28. I will read this. Chapter 28, verse 1. Book of Isaiah. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkard of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm. As a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkard of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. It is not the lily of valley. Verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, before a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty, unto the residue of his people, not all the people. A residue of people. Completely tested, tortured, in a good way, for the faithfulness, faith to manifest, and filtered like silver and gold, forced through fire, refined, that remnant. These verse, six verses, I want us to read from Book of Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Now let's go to Jeremiah, who is in between Isaiah and Ezekiel. The bridge. Chapter 13. Read from verse 1 to 7, my brother. Remember the word GIRD, G-I-R-D, about what the Lord said in Ezekiel. Now we read this. 1 to 7, yes, brother.
First the Lord say to me, go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water. So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, take the sash that you have acquired, which is around your waist, and arise, and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole in the rock. And so I went, and hid it in the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now it came to pass after many days, that the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take it from there, the sash, which I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates, and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it. And there was the sash, ruined. It was profitable for nothing.
Yes. before we continue the few verses next, I want us to remember the word. The girdle was mad and it was profitable for nothing. Profited nothing. The other scripture that has the same word is 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, where Apostle Paul presents the importance of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. He says, do I have all knowledge, all doctrines, all power, all prophecy? Good. If there is no agape, profiteth nothing. And another parable should be reminded to us, because here the command was hide or bury this girdle, you know, in Euphrates, as a great river. Book of Revelation also talks about this river. Hide this, bury this, after some time go and check. Oh, spoil. No, it's not good. The parable of talents. Amen? The Lord also gave them something to go and do something. Those who multiplied it, they did not bury it. The one who buried it could not multiply it. The rest of them received the crown of glory, which is the Lord said, my faithful servant, I am pleased. I am well pleased. I am well pleased with what you did. You tried your best. You did your best. You were cheerful, joyful, humble, sincere. Whatever I gave you, you gave it back to me. Praise the Lord. Good. Crown of glory. The one who hid it, that is spirit of slothfulness, no complacency. That is doubt, confusion, no contentment. I want more. Whatever it is, but it did not profit. How this was reflected in the book of Ezekiel, which is quite shocking. In a different way, I'm saying. It was buried, taken, or spoiled. Profited nothing. Now continue, brother, from verse 8 to verse 14. The result of it.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, to follow the dictates of their hearts, and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as a sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not hear. Therefore, you shall speak to them this word. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle will be filled with wine? Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but will destroy them.
The mad girdle that was labeled as profitable for nothing, that is first seven verses. But eighth verse says, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. What is this great pride? I know great tribulation. Oh, now we know why it is called great tribulation. Great pride will deserve great tribulation. Great God Almighty is worshipped in the great city Jerusalem that humbled itself to receive the great mercies of God. Amen? A humble city is a city that receives the great mercies of God. But here the Lord says Judah became full of pride. Jerusalem, they have called the great pride of Jerusalem. Last Sunday, the title of the sermon was the gates of Jerusalem. So wonderful. I'm a very good brother. Very positive title. But this Sunday, when I was studying last night, I saw this. What is this great pride of Jerusalem? This should be the title for today. Great pride of Jerusalem that can open every single gates of Jerusalem for enemies to welcome, welcome, welcome. Please come and be seated. Let's have a communion. Let's have fellowship. Great pride of Jerusalem will tell the glory of the Lord. Please leave us. Because pride is a rebellion against the presence of God. This is why the Lord says, your whole city, I see pride. Go to Chaldeans, where I will teach you humbleness. I will make it right. People, no. Jeremiah was thrown into prisons. Jeremiah was, you know, attempted to be killed. Why? The city became more important than the one who gave the city. Apostle John, behold, and you see a new city, Holy Jerusalem, comes down. That creator was ignored in the Old Testament because of the city they possessed. Now remember this, the Lord would bring it down. This is what you read in Jeremiah until verse 14. Verse 15, I read this, hear ye and give ear. Open the gate of your ear. Come on, the anointed ear of the Lord Almighty. Because he has opened the ears to receive understanding. Hearing the word of God. How we all receive the faith of God by hearing. But not just by hearing, but by put the faith into our work, you know, in our action. So every senses work together to the work of the Lord. Because the work of the Lord is glorifying the Lord. Like the priest offering sacrifices. It can be anything. Prayers, songs, staying together, stand together. Offering. Be truthful to one another. Offering. So now, here, the Lord says, verse 16, verse 15, hear ye, give ear. Yes, we are listening. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Be holy, for I am holy. The Lord has spoken. Be not proud. Of course, I am not proud. No, I'm serious. No, I'm not proud. Am I? Maybe. The Lord says, be not proud. Which means the Lord says, are you? No, the Lord did not say, are you proud? He's very clear, be not proud. But now, verse 16, give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness. Remember the Creator before the silver cord is broken. Why? He would send to break it if we are his. Before the darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And the Lord says, I will do a strange act, strange work on Mount Perazim. Mount of breakthroughs. And while you look for light, he is the light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Lord, we heal so many people, we serve you this, we serve you that, we build the sheep gate. The Lord says, if our eyes are not set on things above, the author of salvation, the vipers, the Tobias beating your feet will distract you, you'll be looking down. The Athaliah standing at the half gate will distract you from praising the Lord, worshipping the Lord with the fullness of your life. If you do that, we are distracted. If you are distracted, you drop the armor of God. If you drop the armor of God, you are standing in front of Goliath, but you are not David. You are Saul and Eliab. Because they have sword, spear, helmet, but no stones. Only David had the stones, the five stones. The most powerful stones, the five stones David has. Now, verse 17, but if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thought he's going to curse us. I thought he's going to say something very evil. No. Lord says, I'm going to cry for you. Oh, Garden of Gethsemane. So Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. We say, this prophet is not my type. I like Elijah, you know. Brings down fire. You know, like the flight is coming, chariots of fire, no boarding pass. No, just go. Very, you know, powerful. Jeremiah, forget it. Which means you can say Garden of Gethsemane, leave it. Let's go to Bethsaida pool, healing miracles. Garden of Gethsemane. Without Garden of Gethsemane, there is no Calvary. Period. If there is no Garden of Gethsemane, there is no Calvary. The Lord went through Kidron Valley, came up, went to Garden of Gethsemane, surrendered himself. Then the rest is just nothing but fulfillment. Because he said, let thy will be done. God was waiting to hear that word of God utter that. Because he said, let there be light. There was light. Let thy will be done. It was done. Because word of God spoken it, it shall happen as it is. So now, verse 17 talks about this, how the Lord express the burden, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive, the result of pride. Crown of pride is a sign of captivity. Captivity of word understanding. And the Lord says, my flock, the Lord's flock, carried away in captive. Say unto the king, unto the queen. Who is this queen? Who is this king? Humble yourself. Is it King Ahab? Is it Queen Jezebel? What is this combination? King, queen, like king of Babylon, queen of Babylon. That is whoredom, that is revelation. The Lord says, tell the king and to the queen. Why the queen? Think, why the queen? Who rebelled against John the Baptist? Herod? No, Herod was scared of John the Baptist. It was not Herod. It was Herodias. Not Herod. Herod had no intention to go against the man of God. Herod knew his place, but Herodias pulled him down. Ahab was scared of Elijah. It was not Ahab. It was Jezebel who deceived Ahab to go against Elijah. Joseph was simply doing his work as a prisoner. It was not Potiphar. It was Potiphar's wife who came to deceive Joseph. What it represents? The beastly nature, it is always aiming at the bride of Christ to make her as her own. I am Babylon. You should be Babylon. You can't be bride. You should be me. That is the type of Jezebel, Athaliah. Not just that. There is also a few examples in the New Testament as well, apart from Herodias. Let's see that. Book of Acts, chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. This is where Peter speaks. Yes, chapter 5. So, look at chapter 5. Before chapter 5, look at verse 35. Chapter 4, verse 35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart? So the heart gate was compromised to lie. The mouth gate was compromised to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. The mind gate was compromised. Verse 4, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Crown of pride. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Breach. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Because the yeast gate, God enters by it. Heart of my life. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, now the gate is being cleansed, fell down, knees, lost the strength, gave up the ghost. The old man died. We should not see this as death of someone. That is, no edification. Old man died, new man will arise. The flesh should die. And great fear came upon all of them that heard these things. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Not by destruction, not by punishment, but by seeing the true repentance. This is an example that we should see how to read scripture in an edifying way of life. Verse 6, and the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Who died first? Ananias? Am I right? Who died first? Jezebel or Ahab? Now, verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after. So there was a 3 hours period. When his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, she could not even feel what happened to the husband. What happened to the agape? After 3 hours, the husband is gone. The wife comes in because she is troubled by so many thoughts. Verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much. Peter did not say anything. I have a news to share with you. Prepare your heart, okay? Are you okay? Are you good? Your husband passed away. No, he didn't say anything. Something is happening. This is not something that we should learn plainly. We should look at this spiritually, because there was a group of young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. When Jehoiada anointed King Joash, the priests were clothed by the armor of God. Athaliah was slain, they carried her out of horse gate. Amen. Now you come here, the young man arose, carried this flesh which was fell in the feet of apostles, carried him out. But verse 8 says, he asked a question, which means Peter is still showing mercy, grace and love and give her a chance to speak the truth. But yet she lied. Why? Heart is full of desires, no? Full of evil thoughts. She could not speak truth. And she said, yeah, for so much. What is for so much? Like the children said, I love you so much. How much? So much. No, can't count it. And she speak to the apostle, yeah, so much. A confrontational spirit, isn't it? That is Athaliah, that is Jezebel. That is not the beauty of bride. Confrontation. Then verse 9 says, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together? Agreed together? Two or more gather in his name? Yes. Two or more gather against his name. In the camp, there are two committing abominations. Phinehas throw the spear. Here, two committing spiritual abomination. The Phinehas, which is Peter, throw a spear. He didn't say anything. He just simply speak the truth. He was trying to pull them. Come, come, come. And it says, behold, the feet of them which have buried my husband are at the door. They shall carry thee out. What? Imagine the Lord speaks to Elisha. The feet of the horses, okay, they are at the place with the chariot of fire to carry your master, Elijah. So go there. So go there. Chariots of fire took Elijah. Mantle fell down, Elisha took. It is not a mark girdle that you see here, which is pride of Judah. It was not buried. It fell on the ground. Elisha took it because the Lord said, if you want to serve me, take it. Don't tell me I fed you. Amen? Has the Lord ever forced you to serve him? Never. Never. That is Garden of Gethsemane. You want to give everything? Show me and do it yourself. The mantle fell. The Bible says Elijah did not give it to Elisha. The service of God was not forced to the children of God. It is that the children of God go and take it. Volunteering, willingness, suppressing the free will, showcasing the perfect will of God. That is the voluntary, the word that I showed you before. That is why the nobles of Tekoites, they could not put their neck into the work. Why, sir? Stiff. I don't agree with what you do. This chair white? No, I want rainbow color. I'm not going to buy this chair. Could not put the neck. Why? The neck is stiff. And the Lord says, oh, captive daughter of Zion. Not loose thyself from the bands of the neck. Because I did not put it. I can't remove it. It is you yourself put it. So Lord, how to remove it? Repent. It is gone. Fell off. Peter and Silas, they prayed. The bands were loosened. Prison doors were shaken. Foundation was shaken. While Peter and Silas, they were still inside. I was praying, Lord, why they were still inside? Do you know why? The prison keeper was about to kill himself. If they were escaped, he could have killed himself. The Bible says, Peter saw, he was about to kill himself. He said, hey, hey, we know that you would do this crazy thing. I'm here. Don't kill yourself. Which means, those two stayed for the healing of the prison keeper. Like Peter and John, they stayed for the healing of the lame. The lame who was healed is no different from the prison keeper who was saved. He was about to kill himself. Peter and Silas said, we will still be in the prison for your salvation. Servanthood of Christ. It is not a prison anymore. Why? Agape manifested. It became a house. House of God. Amen. Liberty of Christ. Now, let's read verse 10. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. Let's read it in a spiritually edifying way. Our old man died. The flesh was overcome by the Spirit of God. The fear of God started spreading by the repentance, by the true changing of people from glory to glory. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom started spreading across the territory. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We want everyone, our family, those who are not in the truth, they are still your family. Sometimes we forget that we are Gentiles, the true family of God, suffering in the war. We are singing, eating chicken rice, you know, having good time here. They are struggling, suffering, surviving for every single day, day and life, no, whatever, death and life, every day, day and night. Where is the house of God? Wherever there is presence of God, it is the house of God. Now, as we close for this Sunday, let's read book of Isaiah chapter 38. Chapter 38. We should not forget the pattern, my brethren, from Old Testament until the book of Acts. We should see the pattern of God. But we cannot predict or presume. The Lord says, I will still do strange work, strange act that you cannot comprehend. Chapter 38, verse 9 to 11 first. Chapter 38, verse 9 to 11. This is an example of a true repentance, because before this, the Lord took his hands off Hezekiah. Hezekiah was doing good, like Eliashib, doing good, everything perfect, top notch. The Lord looked at him, too much overconfidence. Like how Nehemiah was taken from Jerusalem, Eliashib fell, the Lord took his hand from Hezekiah to see what he has really in himself. He fell. Chapter 38, the Lord shows mercy to him. Verse 9 to 11, it says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick, was recovered of his sickness. The Lord showed mercy. The Lord showed mercy. Because the Lord took his hand to show Hezekiah to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, let me show you Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah understood, Lord, who am I without you? He brought true repentance. Then the Lord healed him of sickness. Verse 10, I said in the cutting of my days, I was on the cliff, on the edge of falling down. I was in the near edge of my life is going to be over. I shall go to the gates of the grave. What? Hezekiah, there is no gate grave in what I showed, right? Please, sister, bring that image. There is no gate grave. He says, I was walking to my gates of the grave. I'll show you where it is. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said I shall not see the Lord. Even the Lord in the land of the living, I shall behold no man, no more, with the inhabitants of the world. Inhabitants of the world, what kind of statement is? To be very truthful, if you love the world, you can't even move from one single verse. It will hold you, will soak you, you know, for hours and hours. You know, the Lord can speak to you so many things you can't comprehend. Because so much, there is so much love the Lord has showed through us. He says, with the inhabitants of the world. Now, I want us to read verse 18, the same chapter. Look how Hezekiah stands. The mindset is changing. Verse 18, for the grave cannot praise thee. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hezekiah was telling, I'm going to the gates of grave. No? Take care, everyone. I'm going to the gates of grave. But the gates of grave is outside the city, not inside the city. And now verse 18, Hezekiah says, the gate of grave shall not praise thee, but, and death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hezekiah is talking about the importance of fellowship, to be rooted in the house of God. Because when he was sick, he thought he's going to die. He said, I'm going to the gates of grave. And he said, I shall not see the Lord. He himself proclaimed, I won't see the Lord. The Lord should see, you should get an appointment to meet the officer. The officer won't get an appointment to meet you. Hezekiah says, I won't see the Lord, I'm going to die. You know, he was keep on presuming his own life, judging his own life. Now, verse 18, it is exactly U-turn. He says, I receive the Lord, understanding grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. Now, Apostle Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain, because I can escape from sufferings. Anyway, he can celebrate in him because there is no death to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, I won't die. You think you can escape from a torture, I will see you on the other side. He won't die. Verse 20 says, the Lord was ready to save me. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. The verse before now, read the verse before. The living, he shall praise thee. To live is Christ. My brethren, all of us should desire to live because he died for you. And all of us must desire to live in fellowship because he died for the fellowship. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. And after hearing this, verse 21, for Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of fix and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. The Lord would look at Isaiah, okay, good teamwork. Finally, we got this man to say the words of life. Correct? The entire painful journey of Hezekiah was profitable because he finally understood what the Lord wanted him to say. He uttered. Then Prophet Isaiah said, now you do this, you will be healed. He was waiting. You are almost there. Good. Get the blessing. Verse 22. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Ask yourself, what sign you want? Please. What else you want? May the Lord bless us as we continue to receive grace from him every single day. Let's remember, if the Lord shut the gates, there is no grace. Please keep the image. First one, please. Just go before. Let's all stand. So now, I just want us to leave the church today with this inspiration. As you all go about your business for lunch, to spend time with family, whatever. But I want all of us to leave with this inspiration. And we will continue next time as the Lord leads. This city, which has different entry points and different watching points. Towers are for watching, gates are for entering, going in, going out. Amen? But inside that city, there is a temple to worship the Lord. There is a place of altar to offer sacrifices. So we see. I want you to remember the temple inside as you, because you are the temple of Holy Ghost. And I want you to remember the territory of the city as your boundary of your life, your work, your family, your friends, your relatives, your pain, your strength, your weakness, whatever. Whatever. As a person who you are. As long as you can think, that is your border. East, west, north, south. And you have so many gates. Your health, your wealth, your relatives, your uncle, your son, daughter, wife. There are so many gates you have around you. Now the temple is inside. Now, next please. Now next please. Now leave the church with this in your heart. There is something that is inside the head the Lord has created us. I'm not talking about science. No. This is the Lord's creation. I use my right eye. I can use my left eye to see what I want to see. And someone calls me, I take the phone, put on my right ear to listen what they say. Or I can put my left ear to listen what they say. But either way, it goes in. And my heart is below my neck. Amen? My heart is below my neck. It's here. My heart is here. The head of the church is who? Not you. Jesus Christ. But we are who? The body of Christ. And the Lord says, love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Show me that you love me. Not in a selfish way. Not because something is destroyed. No. Because of who he is. But there is an entry point of my head. I see evil things. I listen to evil things. I speak evil things. I process evil things. And I corrupt my heart. That is the temple that is buried inside. But Athaliah will come through right here. Jezebel will come through left here. And your word can become the words of Judas, can become the words of Ananias and the wife, can become the words of Jezebel and Ahab, if we are not in the control of God gate. God of Israel entered into my heart. The great pride of Jerusalem should not exist. The crown of pride should not exist. If it is, the pride of Judah will make my entire life useless. The Bible says it, not me. Profited nothing, buried under the Euphrates, took it, profited nothing, because spoiled itself. And girdle that is spoiled, profited nothing. Then if you come here, house of God, city of God, is where God entered by the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He entered into us. Amen? Let's remember, prepare for strange work, strange act. Do not predict God. Do not speak on behalf of God. Keep your mouth in the place where it is supposed to be. And enter by north, exit by south. Come to the church with a desire of change. Leave the church after change. Not the same. Amen? The Lord will guide us. Shalom. God bless you all. Let's close with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for entering into our life. And Lord, here we are, O Lord, humbly surrender ourselves at thy feet. If, O Lord, anything that we have said, we have thought, we have done that is according to the flesh, not according to the spirit, we humbly, O Lord, surrender at thy feet. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us, Lord, thoroughly, O Lord, that we don't want the glory of God to leave the temple of the Holy Ghost. And every single gate of our life, our mouth, our nose, our ears, to smell good things, to see good things, to listen to good things, to speak good things, to think about whatsoever is profitable unto thee, and to meditate on the precept, the statutes of the Lord in our heart, that we are the city, the holy city, the great city who received God Almighty. Blessed be your holy name. As we enter, O Lord, may you bless us that we live as a new man. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen.